Yes, thank you. Again, Bill Quinlan, president of Eversource New Hampshire. I do want to thank you all for being here tonight. These sessions have been very helpful in shaping this project, first as we moved into siting, and hopefully they'll continue to be productive as we move through the siting process. We're going to show a short video that's going to give you an overview of the Northern Pass project, and then we'll spend a bit of time drilling down into what does the project mean for Grafton County, and then probably most importantly, have opportunity for questions and answers. So with that, Andrea, a quick video.
The energy landscape in New Hampshire and New England is shifting. With the retirement of power plants, the pool we draw our energy from is getting smaller. The regional energy supply that New Hampshire draws from is also becoming less diverse and more subject to price volatility and reliability risks. Northern Pass will bring 1,090 megawatts of clean, reliable energy from Hydro-Québec's world-class hydroelectric plants in Canada into New Hampshire and onto the New England power grid. This is enough for renewable electricity to power 1 million homes. In the improved route, the transmission line would cross from Canada into New Hampshire in Pittsburgh and extend approximately 192 miles to Deerfield in New Hampshire. In total, more than 80% of the entire line would be built on existing transmission line corridors or underground along public roadways. The remaining portion would be constructed on land the project has leased. On the overhead portions of the route, we have modified our design so that structure heights and corridor width are reduced where practical to avoid potential visual impacts. Northern Pass will begin in Coos County with a high voltage, direct current, or DC line that will run along a new right-of-way through the towns of Pittsburgh, Clarksville, Stewartstown, Dixville, Millsfield, and Dummer. Two sections of this segment, totaling nearly 8 miles, will be underground along public roadways, and more than 24 miles will be located on working forest land that is already subject to routine timber harvesting. Each underground section will include two transition stations, which are stations where the line transitions from overhead to underground at one station, and back to overhead at the next station, for a total of four. One in Pittsburgh, two in Clarksville, and one in Stewartstown. From the end of the new right-of-way in Dummer, the line will continue through Stark, Northumberland, Lancaster, Whitefield, to Dalton, along an existing right-of-way where transmission lines stand today. The line will enter Grafton County in the town of Bethlehem, transition underground and proceed through Sugar Hill, Franconia, Easton, Woodstock, Thornton, Campton, and Plymouth, transitioning back to overhead in Bridgewater and continuing through Ashland along an existing right-of-way where transmission lines stand today. 52 miles of the route within Grafton County is entirely underground through the areas in and around the White Mountain National Forest, the Appalachian Trail, and the Franconia Notch area. This requires one transition station in Bethlehem and another in Bridgewater, where the line returns overhead and rejoins an existing transmission corridor. The line is located in only one town in Belknap County, the town of New Hampton. The line then re-enters Grafton County in Bridgewater and continues through Bristol before entering Merrimack County in the town of Hill. It then proceeds to Franklin, where the line will enter a proposed new converter station. From there, the line will switch to alternating current, or AC, and will travel through the towns of Northfield, Kenterbury, Concord, Pembroke, and Allenstown. Finally, the line would enter the Rockingham County town of Deerfield, where it would connect with the New England power grid at the substation on Kate Road. In addition, there are plans to modify or replace 10 structures in the towns of Deerfield, Raymond, and Chester between the Deerfield substation and the Scobie Pond substation in Londonderry, New Hampshire. Both substations will also be modified. By providing access to this new source of reliable, renewable energy, the Northern Pass will help meet the region's increasing demand for power while also substantially decreasing carbon dioxide emissions. In addition, the Northern Pass is expected to bring many other benefits specifically to New Hampshire. The project is expected to lower energy costs by up to $80 million a year for New Hampshire businesses and residential customers. In addition, the Northern Pass project will result in an estimated $30 million annually in local property tax revenues for communities along the route and create 2,600 jobs during construction. Our Forward New Hampshire plan goes a long way in helping New Hampshire's communities, and we look forward to further discussions with those communities along the route. The Forward New Hampshire Fund will receive and allocate $200 million over a 20-year period for projects associated with community betterment, clean energy innovation, tourism, and economic development. The plan, which includes benefits unique to New Hampshire totaling $3.8 billion, will not only help lower energy costs, but also increase the state's gross domestic product, unlock small-scale renewable energy sources, and set aside 5,000 acres in the North Country for recreational activities, economic development, and natural resource preservation. We all depend on electricity. The proposed Northern Pass transmission will help ensure the electric system meets New Hampshire's and the region's energy needs for many years to come. For more information or questions, visit our website at northernpass.us or call 1-800-286-7305.
Okay, so hopefully that was a good overview, helpful overview. What does it mean to Grafton County? First, as to the route, if you look at the route, as the video indicated, the line enters Grafton County in the town of Bethlehem and runs along this route. There's a little over 60 miles of total construction in this county. Over 50 miles is underground. So that's the dashed area. That was a result of a decision we made in the middle of last year to go underground through public highways to essentially avoid the White Mountain National Forest, Franconia Notch, Appalachian Trail. This is an example of public input helping to shape the project. You know, when we met with stakeholders across the state of New Hampshire, this is the area that we heard about consistently, that you need to do something in this area to reduce visual impacts. The other effects of doing that, not only is to reduce visual impacts, for this to technically work, we had to scale the project down from 1,200 megawatts to 1,090 megawatts. We're actually using a different cable technology, different conversion technology, so that we had a system that could be reliable with that amount of underground construction. With this 52 miles plus the 8 miles that was referred to up in the North Country of underground construction, this will be the longest high voltage direct current underground line in North America. Okay? What else did that do? It resulted in the overhead structures being reduced in height by about 5 feet on average, some more so, but most at least 5 feet. And that's due to the new cable technology in essence. When a few other things that it did, you know, with this amount of underground construction through the public highway, obviously we avoid a lot of overhead structures, so over 400 structures are no longer part of the design. For those overhead structures that do remain, we are using a variety of techniques, I'll get into this in a minute, to reduce visual impact. So what's referred to as a monopole structure is a more streamlined structure that has a lot lower visibility than your traditional lattice structure. These areas where the red ovals are, those are areas where we've made a determination to go to a monopole structure, okay? We recognize this issue, however, of view impact remains an area of concern and interest, and we're continuing to work on that. What are we doing? These are some of the techniques that we are going to continue to use as we finalize our design and engineering to address local visual impacts. I mentioned streamlined structures. We could also look at the placement of structures, the heights of structures, you know, what type of shielding can we place around it so that they're less visible. These are all techniques for reducing visual impact. When the Department of Energy did their assessment, this is prior to our decision to have an additional 52 miles of underground construction, this was their conclusion that's in their draft environmental impact statement around the view impact, the scenic impact. With that original design, they found it to be moderate, We think we've improved it dramatically since then by placing an additional 52 miles underground, but we are going to continue to work on this issue, and we're going to apply all these techniques as we move forward with our design. I'll show an illustration as to what we mean. These are view simulations, okay? This is illustrative. This is one from Grafton County. There are literally dozens of these view simulations in our current application, okay? They're generally done from key vantage points that have been identified for us as being of particular interest or scenic importance. And Terry DeWan introduced himself earlier. He's a visual simulation expert. This is what he does for a living. He's prepared all of these, okay? So Grafton County, this is probably a location many of you are familiar with, Inspiration Point in Bristol. Okay, you'll see an existing right-of-way in this region. So in those areas where there is overhead construction in Grafton County, that 10 miles of overhead construction, there is an existing right-of-way with an existing transmission line running through it, okay? So in fact, for the vast majority of this line, that's the case. We are in an existing right-of-way with an existing transmission line, and what we're planning to do is to run these lines parallel to each other, okay? So this is from a distance of, it varies between a mile and 2 miles, okay? You can see that right-of-way. And what I'm gonna do is show you a progression of the visual impact of layering in Northern Pass, and then some of the techniques we use to mitigate visual impacts, okay? So lattice structures. These are, they look like erector sets. They usually have four legs, right? And a series of bracing. So they're probably the most significant from a visual perspective. You can see, now see Northern Pass in that foreground, okay? This is an area we've determined based upon that impact that we're going to use monopole structures. So the impact of a streamlined monopole structure is that, okay? So if you look at, that's what it would be with a lattice. You'll see these are less visible from that distance. This is not a terribly long distance. This is a mile or two, okay? So it blends in more naturally. They're less visible to the eye. In instances like this where the backdrop is basically the forest and the woods, there are other things we can do by choosing different materials that have different color. These happen to be galvanized steel, so they don't rust, they don't blend in, and they're visible. We have another structure type, which is called a weathering steel structure. It basically rusts naturally, and that's the effect of using weathered steel monopole structures in this location, okay? So just a reminder, that's what it looks like today. That's what it looks like with lattice structures, conventional lattice structures, galvanized steel monopoles, weathered steel monopoles. And you know, the decisions around the material types are really made on a case-by-case basis, and we oftentimes work with municipalities and others using all those techniques I referred to earlier to mitigate view impacts. This, again, is illustrative. There are literally dozens of these that have been prepared and available for your review, okay? So we recognize this is an area of continued concern and interest, and we're gonna continue to focus significantly on it. Beyond visual impacts in the route, what are the other implications for Grafton County associated with this project? The video mentions a $30 million a year estimated tax benefit for the state of New Hampshire, both county, state, and local. This is the breakdown for Grafton County, somewhere between $6 million a year and $10 million a year in combined county and municipal property taxes. You know, approaching $1 million at a county level and between 5 and 9 broken out between the municipalities in this region. You'll see likely your respective towns here. These are estimates. They're a fairly wide range currently because our final design hasn't yet been determined. As we hone in on a final design and we know exactly what we're building in each town, that range will narrow, okay? But these are illustrative numbers, okay? video talked about our Ford New Hampshire plan. I'm not going to recite this, but clearly one significant benefit to New Hampshire and frankly to New England is that this is a large source of new power. It's economically priced and it will stabilize and lower energy costs. Our view, and this is again backed by an expert report, is that in New Hampshire, our customers should save approximately $80 million a year from their energy bill. There are a host of other benefits that are really designed to demonstrate what this could mean to the state of New Hampshire. When we aggregate them in response to questions that we've gotten, it approaches a $4 billion direct economic benefit to the state of New Hampshire and the communities in New Hampshire over this period of time. Much of it will be targeted in areas of the state that are hosting the line. That's always been our intention. It remains our commitment. Beyond economic benefits, this is a large source of clean energy. It's probably unparalleled in that regard. As a state and as a region and as a country, we're going to have to increasingly rely on these forms of power to meet our environmental goals. Okay, this is a 3 million ton a year offset to carbon emissions. So that's what it means to the region and to the state of New Hampshire economically and environmentally. I think at this point, we're going to open it up for the question and answer period. So thank you.